I'm reading from verses 1 to 14. That's 1 Chronicles 13, 1 to 14. This is what it says in the Lord's word. David conferred with each of his officers, the commanders of thousands and the commanders of hundreds. He then said to the whole assembly of Israel, "If it seems good to you, and if it is the will of the Lord our God, let us send word far and wide to the rest of our brothers throughout the territories of Israel, and also to the priests and Levites who are with them, in their towns and pasture lands, to come and join us. Let us bring the ark of God back to us, for we did not inquire of it during the reign of Saul." The whole assembly agreed to this because it seemed right to all the people. So David assembled all the Israelites from the Shihor River in Egypt to Lebo Hamath to bring the Ark of God from Kirith Jearim. David and all of Israelites with him went to Bala of Judah, or Kirith Jearim, to bring up from there the Ark of God, the Lord, who is enthroned between the cherubim. The Ark is also the ark that is called by the name. They moved the ark of God to Abinadab's house on a new cart, with Uzzah and Ahio guiding it. David and all the Israelites were celebrating with all their might before God, with songs and with harps, lyres, tambourines, and cymbals and trumpets. When they came to the threshing floor of Kidon, Uzzah reached out his hand to steady the ark because the oxen stumbled. The Lord's anger burned against Uzzah, and he struck him down because he had put his hand on the ark. So he died there before God. Then David was angry because the Lord's wrath had broken out against Uzzah, and to this day that place is called Perez Uzzah. David was afraid of God that day and asked, "How can I ever bring the ark of God to me?" He did not take the ark to be with him in the city of David. Instead, he took it aside to the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. The ark of God remained with the family of Obed-Edom in his house for 3 months. And the Lord blessed his household and everything he had. Let us pray. Dear Lord, I pray for your congregation who is before you here this morning, your chosen, your people. And I would ask, dear Lord, that they would hear what you would say to them. That, dear Lord, you would warm their hearts if they've become cold. That, dear Lord, if they have fear in their hearts, you would give them peace so that they could hear what you would say. That, dear Lord, if their ears have stopped up, if their minds have grown dull because they feel that your word has no impact for them, that, dear Lord, you would change their attitude, that they would become excited because you would pour your spirit upon them. And that, dear Lord, they would know that God is speaking to them right now, that he's trying to encourage them, that he is changing them, that perhaps he might rebuke them, but exhort them to be ever greater and closer to him. Dear Lord, speak to us right now. I would ask in Jesus Christ's name, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and God's people said, "Amen." I bring blessings to you from Griffithstown Baptist Church, where I am a member. And their prayers and blessings are with you. I wonder what this year has brought you. Normal around this sort of time, September, October, many people celebrate harvest. But I wonder what it has brought you. Has it been blessing or cursing, joys or sorrows? Probably if anything like the rest of us, it's most likely you've had a mixture of both. I myself would have times of great blessing and have times of struggle. At the moment, as a family, we're going through times of issue. But I look back at the year and look at the harvest that the Lord has brought into my life and see the blessings he has given. But I wonder if you're assailed at the moment by the evil one. I wonder if you, as God's people, have drawn a line and say, "No further, for I am the chosen of God. I am your son. I am God's daughter, and the evil one shall not cross this. Don't mess with me." We forget that perhaps in the Acts of the apostles and in the New Testament times, right at that beginning, people were afraid of the church. Not because of the church, but because of what God and who he was and what he is doing. What about you as God's people? What about you as a church? Are people afraid to mess with you because they never know what might befall of them because they're messing with the chosen of God? But what about you as a church, this fellowship, your spiritual life, the harvest that you perhaps you have received in this past year? Perhaps you feel that you're stuck in an empty farmer's shop, a communist supermarket, or your life is like old Mother Hubbard's cupboard. Perhaps you feel everything is bare. Perhaps you've expected more, and for some reason that you're afraid, you feel depressed and frustrated. As Christians, we're supposed to be a people of blessing. We've been promised a great harvest. And if nothing else, you know, we've been saved as God's people. And I wonder if you feel that in your heart. Do you feel saved? You can respond if you want. But do you feel saved? For, you know, you've been given a great eternity and you've been freed from that which gives us most fear in the back of our minds, that most of this world fears. And that's why they pile so much into their lives. You've been freed, you've been saved, you've been given eternity in your heart. Do you feel that? Do you see, Jesus Christ came to make you secure, to give you a future. While this world perhaps tries to take that joy away from our lives, likes to try and put doubt in our minds, we as God's people have a king. A king who is the king of the harvest, who blesses us, who enables us to overcome all things. We have a word to stand upon, and we share fellowship with him through the power of his Spirit. Here this morning, do you have God's Spirit in your life? Or do you feel that you're powerless? You feel that you're blown from one place to the other because you feel you're in control of the world rather than having the power of the Spirit, and you are in control. You have that purpose. You speak the words of God rather than the world speaking its words to you. We as God's people have a hope, and our lives should not be full of despair. We have truth, and we have a true Father who cares for us if we could but just trust him. The Spirit, as promised, is full of power, and it's for our lives. And I pray this morning that you have that power, who intercedes on your behalf to Christ, who then talks to the Father. And then you have access to the storehouses of heaven, so that you might be blessed, so that you could be a blessing. And what if you believe any of this that I have just said? Or is it all a mystery to you? Perhaps it feels like it's a fairy tale and it means nothing to you. In God's word it says this, a door has been opened and we have an invitation to be with he who loves us. And I wonder if you enter that door. I wonder if you invite God's in to your life. And I wonder if you allow him to shower his blessings upon you. It says in Chronicles that the Ark of the Covenant, which was then the dwelling place of God, who was upon this earth at this time, was trying to be brought back to Jerusalem. But its journey faltered. It stumbled. And Uzzah, who was not authorized to touch it, for only the Levites could, and if David had bothered to study the word of God, he would have understood this, put his hand to steady it. And God's anger burned against Uzzah, and he died. Which is a very harsh punishment, doesn't it? He was only trying to stop it. Well, first of all, it should have been carried by the Levites and shouldn't have been on a cart. And David should have known that only the Levites had access and authority near it. It's not a nice story. How could that punishment fit the crime? But you see, God doesn't need any help. And those people then had received their instructions. It was explicit. Only the Levites. David hadn't done his homework. This day, the God of harvest is supposed to dwell inside of you. Is God inside of you here this morning? If people look at you, and are they able to say, that person has God inside of them? That purpose has purpose. That person has power. They have wisdom upon their lips. Or do you put God in a box that comes out every Sunday? Do you keep God in a box so then he can't work in your life? The people at that time had to go to the ark to consult with God. We as God's people, because of Jesus Christ and his sacrifice and the power of the Holy Spirit, have access to God 24/7. We have access directly to the throne room. Do you feel this morning that you can take your issues and problems straight to the throne room of God? Have you been trying to help God rather than allow him to have reign in your life? And because of that, is your life stunted and crippled because you believe God is stuck in a box, rather inside of your life, and that because of that you are a power in this world? I wonder if you really realize that you, as God's people, are an awesome people. Perhaps most of the time you do not feel like that, but you are an awesome people. You are an awesome people, for you are chosen. You have been given the privilege of the throne room of heaven where you can go boldly. Do you have that in your life? Do you have that power which God gives to you? David thought that he was doing the right thing. He thought that his purpose was an honest one. But really, instead, he was bringing the Ark of the Covenant to the city of David without seeking the counsel of God. He discussed it with the world. He didn't have God in the picture. If he did, then perhaps what happened to Uzzah would have never have taken place. And because of David's disobedience, and because of the ark faltered in its journey, there was a death. And the ark had to be left at Obed-Edom. So because of this failure, David threw his toys out of the pram. He became afraid. I don't know if you know what it says in God's word, that fear of the Lord is the first step to wisdom. You don't mess around with God. And if you're God's people, then the world wouldn't mess around with you. But do you have that fear? Do you understand it? Is it inside of you? Just as God's love is inside of you because of how awesome and powerful our God is. Because of David's failure, he threw his toys out of the pram. He was afraid. And he left that ark at Obed-Edom's. Failure makes us fearful. And because of that fear, we can become depressed. And then rejection enters our life. And then we feel depressed. And that fear can build up inside of us. David gave up because he felt rejected by God. Someone he knew had died. But if he knew and understand God's commands, then no one would have died. Rather, they would have been taking the ark into the city of David. But he had personal agenda. God would not bless his motives, for they were not pure. And he left the ark at Obed-Edom's. Obed-Edom, if you, in our understanding, he should not have been blessed. For his name means servant of Edom. Now, if you know anything about your Bible, Edom was the descendants of Esau. And Esau was the brother of Jacob. Esau sold his birthright to his brother. And Esau lost his blessing that Jacob should not have received. And because of this remembered resentment, Esau's descendants buzzed and attacked the people of Israel. And when they were weak and under duress, the people of Edom had not forgotten what Jacob had done to them. Esau had, but the people hadn't. And they brooded upon this resentment. They could not forgive. Yet the ark stayed with someone with those names. The servant of Red, Obed-Edom, that's what it means. You would have thought God would punish. But you see, wherever God is, his blessings abound. Here this morning, is God blessing you? Is he amongst you as a church and a fellowship and as a people? Is he blessing your life? Is he welcome here? Again, do you keep him in that box? Do you only bring him out on a Sunday and then place him down, rather than him being alive in your lives constantly. Obed-Edom should not have been blessed if we were in judgment of that. You would have thought his anger would have burned against him. But wherever God is, his blessings abound. What harvest do you have here? What harvest do you have in your home? What desires do you have? Do you have the desire of blessing of God in your life? Is it in your heart to grow and draw near to God? Do you invite God into your life, that open door which he has available to you? Do you welcome him? Do you bless him? Do you make him want to stay so that he can dwell with his people? Is God able to say, they bless me. They bless me. So I'm going to bless them. They honor my spirit. So I desire to bless them. They care and love for my son. So I'm going to love and encourage them. I can smile upon them. I can trust them. Can God trust you this morning because you trust him? You see, God wants you to have all things in your life. His love, his graciousness, his grace. Your harvest should be a bumper crop, for he has supplied them and he desires to give them to you. You as God's people, are you prepared to take your inheritance, which is rightfully yours, and never let it go? One of the things we do in this world is we allow the devil into our existence, into our lives. Like I was saying earlier on, do we draw a line and saying no more? No more is the devil going to interfere with us like this anymore. This area that surrounds this church is no longer going to belong to the devil. Rather, it's going to bring glory and honor to God. For God has blessed me. He has blessed us. And therefore, we're going to go into the land and allow that blessing to be spread around to everyone. In the Acts of the Apostle, it's been calculated up to about the 3rd century that God added 500,000 people. And don't forget, they didn't have any media. They didn't have a church. They didn't have Sunday services as such. But 500,000 people every 25 years, just by word of mouth and seeing how the Christians live. We have all the benefits of this modern world. And you know, the devil shouldn't stand a chance against us. Shouldn't stand a chance against you. You see, God wants you to have all things. Your harvest should be a bumper crop. He has supplied what you need. Take back your inheritance. Claim back what is rightfully yours and never let it go. Never let it fall from your hands. Claim it back, for Christ has given you authority in this world. Have you used that authority? The Lord bless Obed-Edom for 3 months and all that he had, his family, his body, his land, his business, his health, his finances were all blessed. Everything that Obed-Edom touched was blessed because God was prepared to bless him, for that is where God was. Is God here amongst you so that you have such a blessed life? It doesn't mean you won't get issues and trials and problems. But do you feel secure? Do you feel and have that assurance? Do you have that peace which descends upon your life here this morning? The people say, they're awesome. They're incredible. For the Lord inhabits their lives. I don't know about you, but do you want a life like that? I know I would enjoy my life to grow into those areas. This church, this fellowship, your family, do you want to banish all tears and doubt and fear and struggle and pain? Perhaps you may feel sad and lost. Then allow God to bless you. Allow him to find you. Allow the Spirit to heal you. Allow God to change you. Come back home. Allow Jesus to make something of you. Allow the Spirit to launch you as God's people. Allow God to place his faith in you so that your hearts would forever grow and you would no longer feel the searing pain or loss or sadness in your life. You might experience them, but God would be there to heal and bless you. Why not receive and believe what God could do? If he could do that for Obed-Edom, how much more can he do for you? So that he would counsel you, he would empower you, so that you might receive your healing and God's Spirit to make you all that you need to be, so that he would clear out the dross and God would enter your life and all of your life, your daily and your devotional, your love, your work, your home life, that you might have faith, that he would hear you and respond to you so that you might be successful and blessed, so that you would bring glory and honor to him. This morning, loved ones of God, let nothing distract you from the harvest that God would like to place amongst you, that he would like to dwell in your lives so that you would have great purpose and that you would have great meaning, that you would be able to be the awesome people that this world needs today. For you are a people of power if you desire it. You are a people of purpose and grace and wisdom, a people of healing and a people of great blessing. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray for your people and ask that you would bless them and encourage them. That, dear Lord, that you would lift them up and allow your Spirit to empower them in such a way that, dear Lord, this world would be afraid of them, but be drawn to them because God is walking amongst them. Dear Lord, let these people receive your blessing like Obed-Edom had, that everything that they touch, everything that they see, everything that they speak would be blessed by you, and people would know that God walks amongst his people. I ask this in Christ Jesus' name, and God's people said,